to Everything Fraser Coast. I'm Jussie Lindeberg, your host, and today I'm sitting at the Coffee Posse in Biggenden, which I first discovered when I watched, I think it was called Queensland Weekender, and I saw this lady on Queensland Weekender called Moira Thompson flirting with the male host, and she did this amazing talk about Mount Walsh, and I thought, I want to meet this lady. And here I am in the Coffee Posse now, but she's not flirting with me. Or are you? I'm here with Moira Thompson, a local, I'm going to say local legend. I think I'm going to get hit. No, local lady here at Biggenden. And I'd just love for Moira to share a bit of her story. Hey, Moira.
Hello. Hello, Justie. Hello, everyone. yes, well, I've been associated with Biggenden since the 1960s when we came exploring here with my parents, trying to find our way up Mount Walsh National Park. And the last 10 years, I've just about finished exploring nearly 80% of this national park. So it's pretty much home.
I'm just looking at that wind and thinking that we're going to be blown away with audio.
Are we?
Yes. So did you go to school in Biggenden?
No, I didn't. I went to school in Bundaberg because that's where I grew up. But I was born in Hobart, and my father, being a naturalist and interested in Australian wildlife, heard about the lungfish. So we decided to pack up from Hobart, go to Bundaberg, and that's where we lived. I did all my schooling there.
Okay. So a naturalist, is that a polite way of saying he's a bit of a nudist?
A naturalist is from the Edwardian times, is a person who goes out into nature to observe. Usually they were people who were artists, who drew flowers, birds, observed wildlife. They would observe things and take notes. So that naturalist way is of observation, listening, and then recording what they see.
Yeah, we're here at the Coffee Posse, and our table has just been cleared, and the service is absolutely fantastic. Business is for sale, by the way. Mm. Be awesome to live here in Biggenden.
Definitely.
Are you a fan of Biggenden, Moira?
Yeah. Oh, Biggenden's a wonderful place. It's just small enough to be and slow enough to sort of keep you calm, quiet. Lovely school. Most things are here. Some things you might have to travel, but only an hour to the biggest shops. And good history, big volunteering spirit in the town, and quite friendly. So no, definitely. And cheap houses. Have a look on Burnett Real Estate and you'll find them.
Wow, yeah, it's actually a bit of a, it's probably like Maryborough, but I don't know, 50 years ago. Was that fair?
Well, in Biggenden, Biggenden's heyday would have been in the 60s when the butter factory operated and the sawmill and the mines were operating, and the population was probably three times the size. But yes, it shrunk and work opportunities are less. But for those of us who have work here, it is an ideal place to live.
My gosh, that history that you just in one sentence, butter factory and all that sort of industry that's now left the rural area, and what the impact is incredible. Okay, but I really want to talk to you about the bushwalking. And so, Moira, I discovered that you've got your own business called Experience Altitude, which just sounds fantastic. It sounds like a very exciting, adventurous business. So would you like to tell us what you do there?
Okay, Experience Altitude offers the public and schools hiking adventures in remote areas. So rather than following tracks, it's all off track. So people who participate are climbing logs, going through scrub, scaling cliffs, sliding down cliffs, going through caves, crawling through stuff. It's not your average bushwalk stroll on a nice leafy green path. So, and that's the fun of it. It's like a playground. And for someone like me, who remains relatively young at heart, it's perfect. So, but kids in particular love it. Adults can be a little bit more cautious because they're not used to sort of letting go and sliding down cliff faces. But anyway, but it, because it's remote, that's what it offers, is something very different to your average national park, which is structured.
Okay, well, I actually want to sign up for one of these adventures. So I've got some questions for you. How long would an average adventure take?
Okay, well, most days are from 5 to 6 hours with breaks for lunch and drinks and so forth, sometimes up to 8 hours, depending on whether there's circuit walks, long walks, up and down, through walks or whatever. There are some that are just can be a half day, which is still about 4 or 5 hours with a Devonshire tea, maybe under a great big boulder somewhere in the middle of nowhere, all provided, and then you walk out quite full and have to go home and rest.
So do you provide Sherpas? Are you the Sherpa? She's laughing.
Not on the walk.
Are you telling me I better carry my own scone?
No, what I have this group that I coordinate called Emergency Service Cadets. So they've been very good. I've had them carry stoves, watermelons, yes. Thermoses of tea, loads of tea, coffee and drinks, fruit. You name it, they're very good at carrying, because I just provide them with a really large pack and say, can you carry this, and a table, there's even a table as well.
That's awesome. I have another question for you. As soon as you tell me something takes 4 to 5 hours, you know I've got MS, so I straight away think about toileting. Do I have to take my own toilet paper?
You need to be totally self-sufficient in your toileting regime. We will stop whenever you need to. Everything has to be buried, so you need to. We'll provide a spade if you haven't got one. But everything needs to be buried, and so that no one knows that you've been there. And essentially, that's it.
Awesome. So I think we might have to come to a prior arrangement that if I do need a toileting stop, you don't stop. You just keep walking. And if you want me to go behind a tree, you better put me where I need to be, otherwise I'll be going on the path and you might step on it on the way back. But can I just say, when I went to, yes, I've got a bit of an audience here, you might hear in the background, when I went did the walk at the waterfalls and rock pools up Utopia Road in Mount Walsh National Park, the group that I was with, Tammy noticed a sign that said that you must bury your poop 15 centimetres. Mm-hmm. And I just wondered, do you often get bushwalkers walking with a ruler?
Well, not really, but we do find the evidence that people have left behind, which if you're doing a clean-up around rock pools, like you mentioned, is very disgusting. So, and that's been probably one of the downsides of having so many people go to those particular rock pools, is that they do not bury their waste at all. Okay. And then people come along like us and we have to collect it.
Yeah. Is it, sorry, I just had to ask one more question. Is it a definite no-no to do a wee in the water, the rock pool?
Oh, definitely, yes. Any kind of human waste needs to be within 150 metres away from any water sources, because what you're doing is you're contaminating what is purely fresh water and is also the habitat of a lot of animals, fish, birds, wallabies that come to drink, etc. So yeah. Yes, and the same thing is swimming in rock pools introduces sunscreen, makeup, detergents from clothes and all that sort of stuff, which would never have been there. So that's something to keep in mind. Indigenous people didn't swim in rock pools that were places they went to eat from. They would only swim where the water was really running, because then they knew that that would be carried on. So places like rock pools were classed as their a shop where they would go shopping and they didn't swim.
That's fascinating. And even though I ask questions with humour, there's a seriousness there.
Oh, yes.
It's a fair question, because 150 metres from the waterfalls, that would be on the trail. There's nowhere else you can go.
You've got to go off track.
You've got to go off track though. So thank you so much. How do we get in touch with you, Moira?
Oh, well, you can check out Experience Altitude Facebook page and have a look at what we're doing on there, and send an email to experience.altitude@gmail.com, and there's also an Experience Altitude website.
Fantastic. So if you're a school in the region and you haven't heard of Moira and Experience Altitude, or you're the Army Cadets, or just a family wanting to get out and explore, geez, what a great opportunity on our back door. Thank you so much, Moira.
Thank you.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da